Game on!
Hello everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
The one who's not worthy. We're not worthy.
The one who knocks. I was like, we did that last week, I think.
That is not who I am.
You're just not worthy.
If anything, I'm Sphincter Boy.
Sphincter Boy. I was just going to call you Milliwake.
You know what that means, right?
Scandinavian for the good land.
Please, Algonquin.
Algonquin. Does this guy know how to party or what? But with that...
Did you know Milwaukee was the first state to elect 3 socialist mayors? Does this guy know how to party or what?
I did not know that. Yes, but joining me, as always, Gus, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory over there. And again, disclaimer to the audio of the episode, obviously, we are at our homes using headsets to record at a said podcast, so audio might be a little robotic sounding at times, a little different, volume may dip from time to time. Bear with us as we get through these trying times, and we'll probably be back in studio shortly, within the next couple weeks, hopefully, here, so.
Sooner than you think, it'll be game on.
Game on. But indeed, what we do here on the podcast every week, we take a film, we watch said film, we then take to the pod to discuss that film, what we liked, what we didn't, what worked, what didn't. Then we submit that movie to the factory, that's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, just different cast and crew for the modern booking. So, with that being said, today we decided to watch an excellent movie, Wayne's World. Party on, Gus.
Party on, Ben.
I guess. probably one of the most quotable films out there. Yeah. Movie I watched a couple weeks ago because I bought both of them recently. But you watched last night.
Indeed, Wayne's World. Easily one of my favorite comedies, one of my most nostalgic comedies. Probably one of the, in the comedy genre, it's probably one that I've seen the most. Which can be good and can be bad at this point in my life. There's a lot of jokes that I'm like, they're funny, but I don't laugh out loud. But you catch me at the right night, I'll bust a, I almost said bust a nut.
Wrong context.
I'll hurl laughing so much. I'll spew.
If you're going to spew into this.
Spew into our spit listeners' ears talking about Wayne's World.
It's just, honestly, it's just a fun watch. It's really easy. It's almost just watching, because it was an SNL skit, but it's just like watching a skit that is just going the whole time through, like just continuous. Because it's really, I was actually listening to Conan O'Brien's podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, and he had Mike Myers on. And I don't know if you knew this, but Conan O'Brien used to be a writer on SNL. And so he was there when Mike Myers first started, and that was all Mike Myers' idea with Wayne's World and everything. And he was talking about how Mike Myers' like concept of comedy is to really be nonstop. Do not let the audience breathe. Like, don't let, if the audience stops laughing, then you're going to lose them. You just need to keep it going. And that's pretty prevalent in Wayne's World, Wayne's World 2, all 3 Austin Powers movies. Pretty much anything Mike Myers is in is really pretty prevalent where there's like a joke per minute, if not more. And that's a good thing. Sometimes it's overdone, but, you know, you see things like, I think there was a study done, some kind of study or event, where they tried to find the funniest movie ever. And it was, based off of laughs per minute. and Airplane had more laughs per minute than any other movie. And a lot of people consider Airplane one of the greatest comedy films of all time. So the fact that Mike Myers is doing a lot of these things, especially in Wayne's World, where it's like a laugh per minute kind of thing, just constant jokes, in my opinion, yes, is a very, very fun and easy film to watch because of it.
I watched this with the girlfriend last night. It was her first time watching it. That she saw it when she was younger, but it's like she didn't remember it at all. She said after it was over, that was a delightful film, and I want to watch the sequel. And we almost did, like back to back.
You're like, you just did. She's like, what do you mean? You're like, it's about the same.
It's one of those. It's like Home Alone, which kind of came out around the same time, both those Home Alone 1 and 2, where the sequel is basically the same beats as the first one. But honestly, I think I prefer Wayne's World 2 overall.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I find myself going back to that one more often.
It's like me in Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah, right. I it might have to do with because I've seen Wayne's World 1. Like I can't even tell you how many times I've seen it, but I can't even tell you the first time I saw it.
It's one of those that you've seen it so many times that if you watch it, it feels like the movie takes like 30 seconds. Like it goes so quick because you've seen it so many times.
Yeah. This movie did feel really fast, and that could be because of the joke per minute. It's like really quick to get to the next joke and progress the plot and the characters. And this movie has classic ones with Wayne Campbell and Garth Algar. But also the villain Benjamin is an odd villain because he's not, I don't know, he has an agenda, I suppose. He's kind of a weasel more than anything.
And if he was an ice cream flavor, it'd be pralines and dick.
You know, that's what it was. I wanted to introduce myself with the podcast with that joke. I forgot.
You wanted to be like,
the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
I'm the ice cream flavor of pralines and dick. I'd be like,
close. I would have been just like, brother of Brothers Movie Factory, pralines and dick.
What's Wayne say at one point in the movie? He's like, excuse me? Popsicle? Or something like that. Like
squeeze me? Baking powder?
Yeah.
It sounds like you want to pay us to do Wayne's World.
Why? <I don't know. laughs> It's funny. It's the delivery and just the character, but
yeah, these lines, these slang lines are great. A famous one is like "Sha," and monkeys might fly out of my butt. In the Spanish dub of this movie, there isn't a translation for that. Like, that's not a thing they would say there in their language. So it translates to like, yeah, when Judgment Day comes.
Hilarious.
Same thing.
people only do things because they get paid.
That's really wrong. Sad. but also, Cassandra is a great character.
She is, yeah. I mean, Garth, this is Dana Carvey's second best film behind Master of Disguise. And,
easily.
Is that really, I'm trying to think. Did Dana Carvey do many movies?
No, not too many movies. Like, starring roles?
Yeah. Like, no, these two, Master of Disguise. I'm sure he's in, like...
Master of Disguise was his last, like, movie that he starred in, anyway.
Well, it didn't do great, even though it's phenomenal.
I don't think any of them did other than the Wayne's World films.
He was in Spinal Tap. He was a mime waiter.
Yeah, so Wayne's World, as you said, is based off of a Saturday Night Live skit. And to this point, when the film came out, it was the second movie based on a skit, the first being Blues Brothers. This movie outgrossed Blues Brothers in an instant. I mean, this movie was a huge hit. It grossed over $100 million.
A million?
Yeah. And then they immediately rushed into a sequel, which came out the following year. And then after that, they started releasing all kinds of SNL skit movies, like Night at the Roxbury, Ladies Man, what else? Pat, I think, was a movie they did. A whole bunch of them. None of them could replicate the success of Wayne's World. A lot of them have developed, like, a cult following.
Do you think that somewhat led to, like, the Tommy Boys and Black Sheep and Adam Sandler pictures that we saw? Like, while they weren't precisely SNL skits, I think they were, to a degree, produced or helped along by that, right?
Maybe. I would say no, because that had been going on for a long time prior to Wayne's World. Like, having SNL actors break away and, like, star in movies. They did that back, like, with, like, Dan Aykroyd and, you know, Eve Murray and Chevy Chase. Like, that was a thing for a long, long, long time. So, but it definitely seemed to be dominated in the 90s by that. Yes, like you said, like, Mike Myers broke out, Adam Sandler, Chris Farley, David Spade, things like that, kind of broke out in the 90s. Maybe it was due to the success of Wayne's World, because as a comedy movie, it grossed a lot of money for its time. And it's still, I think it's, you and I were talking about this, how its references are a little dated to be funny or something. But I not that I disagree, it's just, I feel this movie is a time capsule movie. You know, it's a 90s, early 90s time capsule movie. If you wanted to see what it was like in the 90s, check this out.
I mean, whereas, first, like, scene, they pull out a tape.
Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody, gentlemen.
I do not want to talk on this more than this following sentence, but I recently saw Captain Marvel, and that movie takes place in the 90s, but it didn't feel like the 90s.
The only thing that felt 90s about it was, like, the blockbuster.
Yeah, like, it's like they got things in the background that are like, hey, this is 90s. Like, this movie, yes, it was filmed in the 90s, but it feels like a 90s movie. And I think Wayne's World is historically significant.
To comedy. To cinema.
Comedy. To time. To history.
Indeed.
History beckons.
I mean, because it's jokes a mile per minute, infinitely quotable, but also... the story flows real nice. I mean, it's about guys that it's basically if Wayne's World was to come out today, it probably wouldn't be a show in their basement. It'd be like a YouTube show or
right.
A podcast. Like, it would be something along those lines. So it could happen still. I'm surprised that SNL hasn't not made a Wayne's World like version, you know, a modern version yet. Mm-hmm. To this point, it would probably feel a little cheap. But I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. But it would be like to that degree. But yeah, it's just two guys that have a public access show, and Benjamin the villain needs to pitch an idea to a big sponsor, Noah's Arcades, and played by Bill Murray's brother. Which every time I see him, I'm like, You're Bill Murray's brother. I'm sure that's how everyone sees him, even his parents.
No,
like, you're Bill Murray's brother.
I see him, I'm like, you're the Flying Dutchman in SpongeBob.
Yeah. I see him all the time, and I'm like, aren't you in Supernatural, that one episode?
Yeah.
Or doesn't he play Bobby Singer? Brian Singer? Robert
yeah,
Singer?
Robert Singer.
Yeah.
And even Rob Lowe. He kind of got his resurgence from this movie because he was notorious for his sex tape prior to this.
Did not know that.
Yeah, I was unaware of that. And then this movie catapulted Mike Myers. This is his debut film. Dana Carvey, who at the time of this release was a more popular of a actor on SNL than Mike Myers was. So he was kind of catapulted even further. I can never pronounce her name. I've known her as Cassandra my whole life, but Tia Carrere, something like that.
True Lies fame.
Yeah. She went on. She still is doing things today, mostly TV. But prior to this, she was on like General Hospital and a few things. She's been acting for a while. But she was only 25 when this movie came out. She was your age. How about that?
Hey, how about? Yeah, it's just that's basically the backbones of the plot. Those Benjamin's trying to exploit them, and Wayne meets Cassandra, and they start dating. But Benjamin's kind of trying to swoop in on her, and you know he's smooth. He's got books on his shelf, how to pick up chicks, how to get women. This guy's smooth. And he
rib for her pleasure.
Ew. It just kind of flows the whole movie, throughout, and it's like self-aware comedy before, like nowadays, if something's self-aware, such as like a Deadpool, like fourth wall breaking, everyone's like, oh, that's really funny. It's fourth wall breaking, and, you know, they're talking directly to me. Like Ferris Bueller kind of did that a little bit back in the day. And like that. What?
Hello?
Did I lose you?
No, you're here.
Okay.
He dipped out for a second. But yeah,
I got Ferris Bueller did that. That's like a form of comedy, and this movie really, because there are movies that break the fourth wall, and they're like, that's cliche or stupid, but this movie breaks the fourth wall and in a funny way, because it kind of parodies other films. Like, isn't that great that security guard knew all that information for us to exploit later for the plot? Yeah. Like, stuff like that. Which happens in films. I've been watching a series that it's Cinema Sins on YouTube, and they do everything wrong with this film in however many minutes or less, and I've been watching them, and it points out a lot of those things, like exposition scene here that's only important for this one scene in the movie that's ultimately going to accumulate in solving the plot, like things like that. So it does happen in film more than we're aware of, or more than we really want to, because a lot of times you watch a movie, you just turn your brain off and accept what it's giving to you, which is the right thing to do in most cases. Suspend that disbelief.
This movie like exploits that for humor.
Yeah, purposes, yeah, which is great.
It is great. Because they don't even refer to us as the audience. He's talking to the cameraman. That's what he says. So, like, you can't talk. No, only Garth and I can talk to the cameraman. Because there's what's his name, Al Bundy, every now and then pulls him aside.
Al, what are you doing?
Never did another crazy thing before that night. Why is it that when a man kills someone in the heat of passion, what's he say?
In war.
When a man kills someone in war, it's considered heroic. But if he kills someone in the heat of passion, it's considered murder.
Al, what are you doing? Yeah,
a movie just with that guy.
Him.
I know
and,
what you like to do.
And the guy, that gets the pink slip.
Like, find the poor son of a bitch who wrote that. Ripper's still beating hard out of his chest so he can see how black it is before he dies.
Actually, I was thinking about filing a grievance with the union. And also this movie has one of like the greatest cinematic cameos of all time. Like, let's talk some great cameos. Like, what's the first? All right, think of like first two cameos that come to mind that you like weren't expecting, even if they were like obvious or like you knew the person was in the movie. Like, just they, I'd say a cameo consists of a 1 minute appearance.
Well, automatically my brain goes to this. This is my favorite cameo of all time.
Yeah.
Robert Patrick, but
obviously.
Chuck Norris in Dodgeball, Lance Armstrong in Dodgeball. All those actors in the Anchorman movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can almost consider cameos throughout, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like Robert
Stan,
Downey
any
Jr.
Stan Lee cameo.
Probably. Any Stan Lee cameo.
I would say if we were like ranking cameo performances, I'd say like Stan Lee would be the all time, right? Just
yeah,
because that's his thing.
Like iconic, yeah. I don't know. Well, which other ones do you have in mind?
My mind went directly to Channing Tatum in The Hateful Eight. And The World's End.
Oh, and The Hateful Eight.
And The World's End,
Lord
too.
Of the World. Yeah. Bill Murray in Zombieland.
Bill Murray in Zombieland. Bill Murray in Dumb and Dumber, too. Because he's the guy, Bill Murray's the guy inside the hazmat suit at the beginning that's cooking meth. Yeah, Bill Murray. This Robert Patrick one is phenomenal. Because it was topical. That's another one where, like, if you didn't see T2, you would not understand that reference. But luckily, T2 is considered to be one of the greatest sci-fi movies of all time. And a lot of people probably consider it one of the best movies of all time. So,
that movie had just come out the year prior, and it was a mega hit.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's like a unwritten rule of Hollywood that you do see is that, like, try not to make pop culture references in movies because they become very outdated very soon. Like, when we were in high school, like, YOLO was starting. Like, YOLO, and everyone's saying YOLO, hashtag YOLO, YOLO on everything. Now you don't see that anymore. No one really says that anymore. Is it still a thing? Sure, but is it dated? Yes. So, you know, you go back and see movies, are like, YOLO, that's outdated. But this movie, because it feels like you set a time capsule, those references still work, I guess, because they're playing it more as a parody.
As if.
We do not bow to our sponsor. What? It's like, man, all this is giving me a headache. Here, take one of these.
Wow. Little, yellow, different.
Yeah, it was a Motrin or something.
Nupril or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Garth as a character, just want to touch on him.
We fear change.
He's the highlight of this movie for me and for many. Dana Carvey based that character off of his brother Brad.
Yeah. Wasn't that how his brother would like talk when he was little?
He's like, I fixed your computer. It'll never shut down again. Things like that. And you are able to perform kind of obscure.
I hate when you do this to me because you always say it, and I'm like, I don't think it's that good.
just give me the Wayne yell.
It's probably gonna not come through well on this audio. I'll try. I'll pull my mic a little further away from my head so I maybe don't break
anything. Do it.
Wayne!
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's my Mike new favorite Myers. Way to hail a cab.
Yeah. Mike Myers is, you know, one of the greatest comedic actors of our time.
Did you know he has tri-citizenship? He's a citizen of Canada,
Canadian?
America. And where else, do you know?
Scotland?
No, well, I got UK. England, I think, is specific. Would be more specific. But
he
was born in Canada, moved to Britain, and then back to America.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't been in much in quite some time, nor does he need to. He's kind of made his money.
Love Guru was like his last big one, right?
Yeah, last starring role.
Austin Powers 4.
Well, he did. I guess he did the Shrek movies and stuff. And they're making another Shrek. Austin Powers has been rumored. Wayne's World 3 has been rumored. But I read, that during the production of Wayne's World, which was Mike Myers' first film. Yes, he was a big celebrity on SNL, but
he's like pretty critical of himself.
Well, he was, from what I understand, he was kind of a pain in the ass on set. More on the prima donna side. Like, I'll be in my trailer kind of actor. And he was a little difficult to deal with through a lot of the production. the director and him did not get along too well, to the point where when they were immediately getting ready to do a sequel, he was very forceful in her not returning, Penelope Spheres. They just did not click, I guess. But just as an example, which I read, he was unhappy, so she hired her daughter to be his assistant, and he would an example of a tirade he went on was he went to the breakfast table for craft services, and they only had butter for his bagel, not margarine, and he flipped the table and went to his trailer. He was pissed. That kind of stuff.
I don't taste the difference. Anytime it's like margarine or butter, like a wife will be like, "Oh, it tastes good because it's real butter." I'm like, "What's the difference? It's all oil based."
Yeah. So there's that. What else I want to mention? Oh, a lot of the story was based on Mike Myers' real life. A lot of the jokes and things, like some of the terms like hose beast.
That's from Canada, isn't it?
Maybe, yeah. But his ex-girlfriend from back in the day, they were dating, and she broke up with him only to realize that she might have made a mistake. So she proceeded to try to get him back and bought him a present and got him a gun rack. And she thought he would think it was funny, like, "Hey, I got you a gun rack," of all things. But he reacted the way he did, and he recreated that moment in Wayne's World. And so years after they broke up, and I guess she saw the movie and reached out to him and was really upset of basically that Stacy is her and how they treat her throughout the story. So he had to like call her back and apologize.
He had years to later. Call her back and be like, "Hey, guess what? We broke up. Get the net."
Yeah.
But, I suppose we should discuss Cassandra a little bit and some of the side characters, because Cassandra obviously has a band. She wants to make it big. Benjamin's trying to swoop in on Wayne's girl by using his money and power and connections to basically get her a gig. You know, and then who's Benjamin's assistant? I forget.
The actor
Zachariah.
Yeah, that I was thinking about him last night. He's in a lot of stuff, and he's never like the lead guy. He's always like a side character. But he's pretty underrated, I think. He's
like Ron Howard's little brother.
Yeah. he's in this. He's great in this. He's in Ghostbusters 2, and he's great in Ghostbusters 2. And
Dickless here. Oh no, that's from the first one.
That's the first one.
Forget what he calls this guy in the second.
We know him mostly from like Supernatural. He's in several seasons of Supernatural.
Plays the angel Zachariah.
Yeah, he's always
he's
there. He's
a real douche.
put down the flashlight. But yeah,
they steal the flashlight. It's okay.
Yeah, the side characters are great. Even those, like, I don't want to say silent characters, because they do say a word here or there, but the crew.
Yeah.
Whose names are never mentioned. Yeah, that dude. Like, do I scare you? Do you want me to?
And we're live in 3.
5. 4. Here's...
Wayne, don't nod your head.
Yeah. Guys, you're nodding. Here is a side character that might surprise you. Noah Vanderhoff, right? Bill Murray's brother. His wife, Mrs. Vanderhoff, you know, that's where the magic happens. She, believe it or not, is the actress who plays Yvette in Clue. Colleen Camp.
What?
Google it. Lose you?
I suppose. Did you hear me scream? What? I'm at a shock.
Yeah, it dipped out.
That's my favorite character in Clue.
Yeah, that's her there. And just, I mean, touching on Cassandra. Oof, Cassandra. Jeez.
Camera one, camera two. Camera one, camera two.
I laughed real hard when he walks over to that mummy and just like, starts rabbit humping it.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Now, this is a movie, too, that could be construed. I mean, it's PG-13 for sure. I feel like we watched this at a young age. But it's one of those where you don't understand the jokes growing up. Even that scene, you don't see it as like, oh, they're having sex. You see it as just...
Even though it says gratuitous sex?
Yeah, I can't read. this won't stop me from watching this scene because I can't read.
I never learned to read.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I feel like, the same with like the Austin Powers movies. I feel like we watched those relatively young. And a lot of times jokes, they go over your head, as a kid, but that's almost like something fun about it. Like the older, as you grow up, you can get some of these jokes and be like, wow, that went way over my head when I was little.
Like, didn't make any cream sense. Of some young guy.
Yeah. Like, okay, I don't get it, but they're laughing, so it must be funny.
I was like, why, after he says cream of some young guy, do they take so long laughing? I'm like, oh, it's because it's to give the audience time to laugh. What else are some interesting factoids? Oh, here's a good
one. The headbanging scene?
Well, I'll get to that. Garth's dream woman, Donna Dixon, is the actress. She's been married to Dan Aykroyd since 1983.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, good for you.
He hasn't, who's in the second one? Who's, they're like, they spoof To Die For, the movie To Die For, with like, the lady getting Garth to kill her husband.
Kim Basinger.
Don't they make a joke in the first one about like Kim Basinger being a dream woman or something?
No, that was Claudia Schiffer or something.
No.
Or Heather Locklear.
Heather Locklear, that's it. Yeah. You're in a forest with Heather Locklear.
And you're very warm. Warm? with Heather?
where Garth gets fucking thrown back in his chair. He's like, sorry, I slipped, or I fell, or whatever he says.
He says both.
He gets fucking thrown back.
But yeah, so probably the most famous scene in this movie is Little Bohemian Rhapsody, gentlemen. The studio originally wanted Guns N' Roses to be playing, and Mike Myers championed Bohemian Rhapsody to the point where he threatened to quit the production if they didn't use Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's a better headbanging jam, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Like, Sweet Child of Mine, sure you could at the guitar solo, but it's not as good. Paradise
Welcome
City.
To the Jungle.
Yeah, Welcome to the Jungle. Paradise City is the one I would like, just because of the drum beats.
I do November Rain.
That's the end. Half. Oh, yeah. The ending half, yes, but that would be a really long intro.
So is Bohemian Rhapsody.
Shackler's Revenge!
The rest of the band, the crew, they had to teach Mike Myers and Dan Carvey how to headbang.
I don't understand. And I remember listening to this on the commentary of the movie, because we used to have it on DVD, and I remember just not understanding. They complained about this so much.
Yeah, they did so many takes of the headbanging that their necks hurt so much. They're so sore from banging their head. And they complain and complain. If you watch the take that is in the movie, they are very stiff, those two.
Yeah.
In comparison to the other guys. Probably because they were in pain. And I remember, you know, during my teenage years when I was getting into heavy metal music and learning how to, like, headbang, and I had longer hair and I would whip it around and stuff. I remember getting really sore from doing that. You just get used to it after a while. So I could relate on that level. But at this point, in America, Queen wasn't as popular as it is certainly today. Still in Europe and other countries, Queen was pretty big. But it got to the point where in the 80s, Queen, for like their final two tours, world tours, they didn't even come to America because they were just not popular there at the time. And it was this movie that created a Queen resurgence. It made Bohemian Rhapsody so popular in America that, once again, Queen became hot, even though Freddie Mercury unfortunately didn't live to see the debut of this film. He was still alive. He was very sick, but Mike Myers sent him, like, clips of that scene to see while they were still making the movie, and he approved. So that's just a cool factoid there, I think.
Indeed. I really think that this is a film that, like I said, could come out today and do very well, so long as it is handled properly, because I feel like you just have to do it. You'd have to modernize it, and we don't really have a modern, like, satire, really. We haven't had one in a while. I mean, they do things like Deadpool. That's pretty satirical along the way, but, you know, not to this degree of, like, pop culture and really a light plot. Like, Deadpool's a superhero movie and an action movie, you know. This is a light plot, lighthearted, just comedy romp.
Straight comedy.
Yeah. If you will. So it's a little different to a degree.
And, you know, something that would help, or not help, but be nice if a movie like this were to be made today, for me, yes, it's, like I said, it's a time capsule movie, but a lot of the music is of its time and previous time. It introduced me to a lot of music, including, like, Alice Cooper, who has a great cameo in this movie. What else? Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen, that introduced me to that. But even Cassandra's band, Crucial Taunt, they sing Ballroom Blitz at the end, which is a song by Sweet. You know, introduced me to a lot of those things. So if a movie like this were to come out today, having maybe modern songs, or it could introduce people to just a different genre other than, like, today's hits, maybe more like rock and roll kind of things.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate as a music lover.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Well, with that being said, as we talk about today, do you want to submit this movie to the factory?
I guess.
Yeah, I guess. So in this portion of the show, this is where we take the film we just watched and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? However, for today, really, there's no true composer in this film. I mean, there is, but you don't watch Wayne's World and think, man, the music is great. So I'm not going to worry about the composer,
nah,
if that's okay with you. But I did want to cast a director. I was figuring Wayne, Garth, Benjamin, and Cassandra. Is that good with you?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, ultimately, my thought here was that obviously this film, we're trying to modernize it, so it might be a different take. It might not even, by the end of our casting, it might not even be like Wayne's, it would be Wayne's World-esque, but it would be a modern version of it, a little different, right? So take that at how you will, because mine might be a little different, my take overall. But with that being said, who do you have to compose Wayne's World, or direct it, rather?
Who do I have to compose the directing of Wayne's World?
Indeed.
I have director Akiva Schaffer. He has directed a plethora of things, but including one of my favorite comedies, Hot Rod. He also directed pretty much all the Lonely Island music videos.
Ah, yeah. He's a member, isn't he?
I believe so. Threw It on the Ground, Jizz in My Pants, Dick in the Box, you know, all those classic ones. Even Natalie Portman's rap.
Hey.
So, great comedy director. And I guess he's in the SNL crowd, you know, being involved like Andy Samberg and such. And those, and Lonely Island, a lot of their stuff was featured on SNL. So I'm going with Akiva Schaffer.
Look at that. I went with a director who, as of late, hasn't directed very much. But for the stretch of about 8 years, he directed a lot of bigger films. And saw one of my favorite comedies in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And that's Nicholas Stoller. He did Forgetting Sarah Marshall, which I think is phenomenal and underrated. Get Him to the Greek. He did things like Neighbors and Neighbors 2. What was that?
Those are all fun.
Yes, indeed. And then his last, like, big film, which I haven't seen, but I'm assuming it's just very generic, it was Storks, the movie Storks. Mm-hmm. Now, that's directing. He has composed things since then. He composes a lot of TV shows. He composed that movie Smallfoot that just came out.
He's composing, too? Or are you saying directing?
Not composed. I meant produce. I'm all over
the place. Choke yourself.
I know. He produced, he produced things like Smallfoot. He produced things like The Muppets and The Muppets Most Wanted. So he's produced a lot of things. He also helped write, like, he wrote the screenplay for Dora, the Lost City of Gold.
And
Zoolander 2. He wrote for, like, Sex Tape, The Muppets movies, Gulliver Travels, Get Him the Greek, Yes Man, he wrote, Fun with Dick and Jane. So he's very comedic. He's got a lot of comedy chops. In terms of writing, producing, directing, he's done it all. So I went with Nicholas Stoller, which is interesting because we really don't do many comedies on the show here. So doing a comedy director is something different. These are two directors we've never used before.
Indeed. So we will flip and see which one of these two we've never used before gets put into infamy.
Just do it!
It is your guy.
Ayo, Nicholas Stoller. Indeed. All right. Well, then, moving on. We got Wayne, Garth, Benjamin, and Cassandra. Who do you want to cast first?
Let's do Senor Benjamin.
Senor Benjamin. Who do you have playing your Senor Benjamin?
Senor Benjamin. Benjamin was played by Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe. Handsome. Rich. Good with the ladies. I'm doing similar, but for today, and that would be Ryan Gosling, handsome,
quiet,
yeah, just like Rob Lowe, business. I was in between him and quite the opposite, which would have been like a Chris Hemsworth. I'm saying, like, as far as like the energy brought to the screen,
yeah.
But I see Ryan Gosling more in this role, and this was a recommendation from the lady. But damn it, I was like, that's a good pick.
So for my pick, I went with the same idea, you know, someone smooth with the ladies, good looking, you know, has played similar roles before, and that's Mr. Zac Efron. And also, he's worked with the director, Nicholas Stoller, before with movies such as Neighbors and Neighbors 2. So I ultimately went with Zac Efron. I feel like he's actually, in my humble opinion, I feel like he's a better fit for this role than Ryan Gosling. Now, granted, I haven't seen a lot of Ryan Gosling films. However, when I see Ryan Gosling, I think handsome. I never really think super charismatic. I usually think, like, very quiet. But I know I'm wrong, because it's just what I've seen.
Easy La La Land, easy Nice Guys, if anything. Nice Guys will bring him to life for you.
So what's the movie that he does the sprinkle meme?
The sprinkled meme?
Drops the glitter. Isn't that Ryan Gosling?
No. I don't think so. Are you thinking Salt Bay?
Maybe. The meme of the guy dropping the whatever.
Okay.
I'll post it in the chat.
So, I'll flip you for it, I suppose.
Do it.
see what we got. Usually, I think this is a weighted coin, so it usually lands on heads anyway. Except today.
It is
Ryan Gosling as Benjamin.
Go to the podcast docs chat. That. Isn't that Ryan Gosling? I always thought it was.
That's Salt Bae.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
He's a chef.
I don't watch things.
God.
Although
almighty.
In Persona 5, they do make a reference to that. A character is cooking, and he's like, now I got to add my special stuff. And he does that, but it's windy, and everything blows away.
That's funny. That's Ryan
Gosling?
Yeah, Ryan Gosling, not Salt Bae.
Got it. I am incompetent. Anyways, next up, I'm assuming, Cassandra! Cassandra!
Yes, indeed. Punk.
Son of a bitch.
See, I want to watch the second one so bad. It's so funny. But, I'm casting Christopher Walken as...
Benjamin.
As Cassandra.
Good.
As Cassandra in this movie. Yeah. For me, I wanted to keep her heritage there, because that's like a big part of the movie is Wayne wants to learn Cantonese. Isa Bindua. And do you know any Cantonese?
That's it.
So I was doing some research. I did find this Chinese actress who's very big in China. She's a model. She's a singer as well. And her performer name is Angela Baby. Yeah, she hasn't been in anything even I have heard of other than Independence Day Resurgence and Hitman Agent 47. What else has she done here? Let's see. I was whipping up her IMDb page. Those two are the only things I think you and I have heard of, but a lot of hits, because like I watched an interview with her, and she is a kind of a sensation over there, and great voice, and that's what I also wanted, because I cannot pronounce her name, but Taya Kariri, she is a great singer. Like, those are her actual vocals in this movie, and she has a singing career too. So I kind of wanted to mesh those two things back into this kind of movie. Even though Taya Kariri is Asian, of Asian descent, but she identifies as Hawaiian.
What was her name again? The actress you chose?
It's one word. It's Angela Baby.
Angela Baby. Gotcha. Alrighty. So for my pick, I'm for the direction I'm going with the film, I chose an actress, and she's been in a lot of different things. Most recently, what I've seen her in were things such as 22 Jump Street. She's been in a lot of different movies, but I've also seen her in Criminal Minds. If you know Rossi, the guy from Baby's Day Out, she plays his daughter. And that's Amber Stevens West. She's the girlfriend she's the daughter of Ice Cube in 22 Jump Street. She's a really good actress, especially in Criminal Minds. I mean, she's done comedy in 22 Jump Street, which is good in that as well. But she's a really, really good actress. Now, and as far as singing goes and things like that, not entirely sure. She was a former she was a daughter of a radio announcer. Then her mom was a model, and she's done a lot of movies, and her mom did a lot of movies, and her dad was also an actor. So she's been in the business, like her family's been in the business. She's been around long enough, to be in a lot of different movies. She was in The Amazing Spider-Man, which is your favorite. And I think she's just a good fit for the direction I'm going. However, I'm going to give it to you because yours can actually sing, which I'm not saying she can't, but that's like her career, your choice. So I'm going to give it to you.
Okay. I'll let it be claimed.
All right. Next up, we got our Wayne and our Garth. So let's. Since they're a pair, why don't we do them together?
You go ahead. You go ahead and go first, there, guy.
So I needed to find a way to make this duo work, and it was so difficult. And I wanted to keep Garth the same while making Wayne just a little different, because I'm thinking modernize the music, modernize everything, the whole concept of Wayne's World, do a YouTube show, do something like that. And so ultimately for Garth, I wanted to go with Garth is like a weird guy, and for lack of a better term, like the whitest kid you know kind of deal. So I kind of wanted to go with something along those lines. So I chose for Garth, and I'm not sure if he's really a good fit. I'm going to say his name, and you're going to be like, really? That? But I think it's not as bad of a choice, because I bet he could pull it off, because I've seen him pull off weirder. It's Jonah Hill. Because I was thinking the whitest actor I know, like in terms of like just goofy and weird in that role. I really think that he fits comedic-wise for that. So I was like, oh, let's go with old Jonah Hill in the role of Garth, because I've seen him play a lot of different roles. I'm just thinking like awkward, weird, he could definitely do, because I've seen him do it in movies like 21, 22 Jump Street.
So as long as you don't say Channing Tatum as Wayne.
No, I don't. I don't have Channing Tatum as Wayne.
Who do you have?
So my Wayne, again, I wanted to go modern, and I went with an actor who has done comedic roles. He's done serious roles, and I really like everything I've seen him in, and he has a music background, and that is old Donald Glover. So I was thinking modern music. And Donald Glover is hilarious if you've seen him in Community, if you've seen him even as Lando Calrissian. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Childish Gambino, his music, he's really good. So I felt like in terms of modern-day booking, he would be a really good fit as like a modern-day Wayne, Donald Glover, for that role. And I think, honestly, you get Jonah Hill and Donald Glover, they could play off each other probably really well. And so that's ultimately why I went with Donald Glover, because I feel like he would fit that modern day, you know, music world. You know, he does the rap and hop music and everything like that. I feel like he would fit that mold pretty well.
Okay. Yeah, that is an interesting take on recasting for Wayne's World. I was sticking with the comedy duo route here, with Hot Rod, I had as the director, and I had as Wayne Campbell, I had Andy Samberg, and as Garth, I had Jorma Taccone, who plays his brother in Hot Rod. And they're both in The Lonely Island, and they've been in Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stopping, and things like that.
Fantastic soundtrack.
Yeah. You know, I've actually, I'll say I met him because I talked to him, Jorma Taccone, or Taccone. I went to a screening of MacGruber, and he's the director, and he was doing a questionnaire afterwards, and I asked him, I was like, whose choice was it to use wrestlers in the film, and why did you kill them off? So, and he answered my question. His answer was...
I asked this question. Really? Yeah. Thanks, roommate Matt.
His answer was, he's like, I don't know whose choice it was to put wrestlers in the movie. No, he's a director. He's like, I think it was a Lorne Michaels decision. But he's like, I did like the fact of taking these characters that are performed by, you know, people who love wrestling and killing them off in a second. It just pissed a lot of people off, but that was the point. It was to make to do that as a joke. I was like, yeah, it pissed me off. And that was it.
This is the only reason I came to see this movie.
Yeah.
So all right,
that's my duo.
Heads me, tails you. Flip that coin.
That's actually heads. How about?
Why, God. Why? Alrighty, well
as
then.
As if. Let's do the Scooby-Doo ending.
Scooby-Doo endings, we get to play
Freddy
Wayne.
Prince Jr.
Would be Garth.
No. Matthew Lillard is Garth. Freddie Prinze Jr.'s Wayne.
Yeah. Did you know, I saw, speaking on Matthew Lillard real quick, he was, like, actually really upset because that new Scoob movie didn't cast him as Shaggy.
He was bummed. But they're supposed to be young, aren't they, in that movie? Or not?
I guess. I mean Chris Duckman said it was shit, so.
Yeah, right.
But anyway,
Frank Welker did Scooby-Doo. I don't even know if he does Scooby-Doo.
Frank Welker did Scooby-Doo, and it just sounded like the Predator.
That's
not
Peter
Frank Welker?
Cullen. Nah, Frank Welker is like Starscream in Transformers. Frank Welker has
Who
been
Who are you people?
He's been the voice of Fred Jones on Scooby-Doo since the 60s. And they didn't even have him do Freddy, so.
Should be Freddie Prinze Jr. because he's Freddie I know.
Yes, indeed.
And you know what I didn't realize until recently? I'll say exactly who our cast here is in a second. But what's her name? The girl that plays Velma. She has a weird last name.
Linda Cardinelli.
Yeah, I never clicked with me that she was the main girl in Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I think of her as mostly is her. From
I always see her as Velma. We were watching the show Dead to Me on Netflix recently. Mm-hmm. We just finished it, and she's in that. And I just saw her as Velma the entire time.
I always see her as that crazy girl from Good Burger, who lets all the kangaroos out from the zoo.
Oh shit, that's her. Jeez, I only know her as Velma.
You're mistaken. You know there's much more.
This really, we need to watch that sometime, Scooby-Doo. But that movie was perfectly cast. Anyways, other than
so games, was so was Wayne's World, but
Wayne's
we changed
World was,
it up.
Yeah, we changed it. So here we are. Anyways, Wayne's World director, we got Nicholas Stoller for Cassandra, Angela Baby, Benjamin, Ryan Gosling, and then Wayne and Garth duo. We got Donald Glover and Jonah Hill. So that is our factory for the week. Before we get going, any questions there, fella?
If they were to make a Wayne's World 3 with Mike Myers and Dana Carvey returning to the roles in like their whatever they are late 50s, early 60s, however old they might be, what kind of story would you like to be seen in a nutshell?
I think if they were to do it today, I would think it would be funny if. I don't even know. Is public access still even a thing?
Exactly.
I would like it to be something along those lines if they're trying to transition, where they were like kind of a big deal in their local area, to the point that got them like a big, you know, a big deal, TV deal. So I would like it to be like that, only they're trying to like transition to the internet. Hell, they could be Twitch streamers for all I care, but like that kind of like being able to transition and figure out how do they kind of relate to the modern viewer of YouTube, you know, when most people that view YouTube are actually like subscribing to channels and stuff like that are probably our demographic and kids. And so, you know, how and you can make it pretty modern, bring in YouTube people and, you know, all the famous YouTubers, bring them all together and make, like, the internet the movie.
Internet the movie.
Yeah, I feel like it would be pretty good. Wayne's World 3, the internet. But I think that's what I would want to see is, like, them transitioning to, modern. How do they reach modern audiences?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat there, because I feel it'd be funny to see our characters struggle in that kind of world where they just refuse to, you know, adapt, but maybe for one reason or another are forced to, and just to see the hilarity that would ensue with them trying to figure out today's world. But, what else? And then ultimately, as the hero's journey would go, they wind up on top by the end of it.
Or they that's, don't. That's always... I mean, there's got to be multiple endings.
Right.
Because what? In all of them, there's always the bad ending in the first two.
I'm looking forward to seeing the second one again here, probably tonight, maybe. But there has been rumor for a very long time that a third one is... A script is written, anyway, for a third one. So, I guess time will tell.
In that interview I was watching on, or listening to on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, he was saying that he, like, really wanted to step away and, like, focus on his family and his kids growing up and everything. Now, I don't know how old his kids are now, but, I mean, maybe as they grow older, it'll be a Goldberg situation where he wants his kids to see what he does.
Well, then he just pops in Cat in the Hat.
Yeah. And they, that's what he, who's it, Arnold Schwarzenegger that would make his kids watch The Red Zone? Should have punished them or something?
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, yep, indeed. Now look at him. His daughter's married to Arnold, his daughter's married to Chris Pratt.
Come here. Come here, baby.
His daughter's married to Chris Pratt, rather. Arnold says that to Chris Pratt when he sees him.
I married my daughter. What are you going to do about it? Yuck.
Anyways.
Here we are.
Yeah, indeed. Well, that is the show, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. If you liked it, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom. That's our primary site. That's where we post to first. And then the podcast subsequently gets shipped out everywhere else. So Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, hey, we're there. You can also find us over on Twitter. We are at the Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting links to the show, what we're going to be watching this week, amongst other things, memes Gus makes, etc., etc. So be sure to check us out there. You can also find us over on Facebook.
Hey, go to Facebook and type in the Brothers Movie Factory. You'll find us there. I like to post links to the thing Ben mentioned a moment ago, as well as images and memes that I make based on the movies we're watching each and every week. The links that Ben mentioned a moment ago are like Spotify, Audioboom, Twitter, and that.
Indeed. So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. But until next week, brothers.
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 Brothers.